Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Would the Democrats support former Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman for FBI director? Remember, Lieberman was Al Gore's running mate in 2000, but he also left the Democratic Party in 2006. He was too much of a war hawk, too pro-Iraq war for the Connecticut base of the Democratic Party, and he lost the primary to a more progressive Democrat that year, but then ran anyway in the fall as an independent and won re-election. He's very close with John McCain. It's been said that McCain almost picked him as his running mate in 2008 to go for a center-right, center-left unity ticket, which would have made Lieberman the only person ever to run for vice president for both parties. But McCain's advisors convinced him to go with Sarah Palin instead. Maybe not the best decision of John McCain's life. Our next guest to talk about that and more is the man who now has Lieberman's seat, Democratic Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy. Senator, thanks as always. Welcome back to WNYC.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Would you vote to confirm your predecessor for FBI director?
I'm not in the position of commenting on everybody's name who's in the mix right now for FBI. I've been pretty clear about my concerns that this position at this moment in time should likely be filled by someone with a law enforcement background, someone that's not political in nature. I'm going to wait until the president makes his choice and do my research, talk to my colleagues, and make a decision. My worry is independent of who eventually gets forwarded to us. I just want to make sure that we are keeping this office above the political fray at a time when a lot of Americans are worried that politics is starting to creep into the decisions that are made inside the FBI.
That's what a lot of your fellow Senate Democrats are saying, too. They're concerned about a politician rather than a law enforcement person being in charge of intelligence. But it occurred to me that in this environment of Trump trying to politicize intelligence, that maybe an important advantage of Lieberman could be that you could trust him not to be Trump's patsy because he's still pretty much a Democrat. And Lieberman's closeness with McCain, who's a Trump skeptic, actually reinforces that.
Well, Joe is certainly, a very strong-willed, strong-headed guy. He's had no problem standing up to both Democrats and Republicans throughout his career. But ultimately, you want to make sure this is a functional agency. I don't think that, your chief consideration in finding somebody to run the FBI is where they are politically positioned. The folks who work at the FBI, the career investigators, there pride themselves on working for an agency that is not just a cog in a greater political machine. You want to make sure that they maintain that independence. And, I think to a lot of us, that is related ultimately to who gets chosen to run the agency.
All right. These crazy revelations about Trump and Comey and Mike Flynn and now even Mike Pence just keep on coming even after the appointment of the special counsel. It's being reported in one news organization that Flynn told the transition team he was being investigated by the FBI for his work on behalf of Turkey, but Trump appointed him national security advisor anyway. It's being reported that Flynn had 18 more contacts with Russia during the campaign than previously reported, that before Flynn revealed his monetary relationship with Turkey, he advised the Obama administration not to arm the Kurds, something Turkey didn't want them to do. It's been reported that Comey kept copious notes about all his interactions with Trump and warned Trump to follow protocol about contacting him, and that inexplicably, Trump is still in contact with Flynn and recently told him to stay strong. It's not even drip, drip, drip. It's pour, pour, pour. And this is in the last 48 hours. What does it all add up to for you?
Well, it just underscores the need to have this independent counsel that has wide latitude to get to the bottom of a potentially very sordid and very damaging story about the connections between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. Many of us, were very worried that the congressional process inside the Intelligence Committee was not going to be able to get to the truth, and I think Bob Mueller is an inspired choice. He likely will be able to, if there is a smoking gun out there, if there is a set of facts to be unveiled, he's the most likely to get to them. I mean, the fact of the matter is that this administration has been terribly ethically compromised from the beginning, and we should understand that none of this is normal, right? It is not normal to have seven new stories drop every day about people that have the level of compromised relationships that Flynn has, being so close to the White House. So I think Mueller is the right choice. I hope he has all the resources necessary to get to the bottom of this. We've got to continue to do our due diligence as well in Congress, but I think that that investigation is more likely ultimately to get to the truth.
Listeners, questions for Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. Constituents from Connecticut, you'll get first priority, but since we're really talking about national and we'll get to international issues, anybody can call for Senator Chris Murphy this morning, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, as we continue to give you access to our local elected officials and others who come on the show, 212-433-9692. And since the Trump transition, Senator, knew that Flynn was an agent for Turkey and even under investigation by the FBI for it, there are questions about whether Mike Pence lied to the American people about that on Flynn's behalf when he said this on Fox News in March. Listen.
Well, let me say, hearing that story today was the first I heard of it. And I fully support the decision that President Trump made to ask for General Flynn's resignation.
You're disappointed by the story?
The first I heard of it, and I think it is an affirmation of the president's decision to ask General Flynn to resign.
Mike Pence with Brett Baer in March. Senator, is it clear to you that that was not the first that Pence had heard of it and that he lied to cover for Flynn?
Well, I don't think that it can be clear. I mean, in the sense that we are operating off of news stories largely with anonymous sources. So, you know, I think there's some really great journalism happening right now. But these are, you know, these are difficult conclusions to come to when we don't actually know what the source material is. Now, if it's true that Flynn made known his connections to the transition team, it is hard to understand how the vice president wouldn't have known, given the fact that he was heading up that process. And if he wasn't given that information, then, you know, what kind of transition was happening in which the person that was ultimately making a lot of these decisions on presidential personnel wasn't being given, you know, some very, very important information. So I think this is a tough time for those of us who are in, you know, these decision-making positions, because ultimately we're relying on what may be very good journalism, but is largely built upon sources that we can't know.
I want to ask you about the closed-door briefing that Assistant Attorney General Rod Rosenstein gave the Senate yesterday, the day after he was named special counsel. I read that Rosenstein confirmed that Trump was going to fire Comey before Rosenstein wrote his memo criticizing Comey's job performance. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. Not only did he confirm it, but it was in his opening statement. It was made clear as day that he went to the White House, learned that the president was going to fire James Comey, and then went and wrote the memo. Now, he wouldn't answer any other questions about that interaction with the president. He wouldn't answer any questions that were connected to the composition of the memo. We tried to ask him, what reason did the president give you for firing James Comey? Who helped you prepare that memo? Did anybody ask you to prepare that memo? Was the memo edited by anyone? None of those questions would he answer. And the reason for that was very disturbing. The reason was that those the issues surrounding the composition of that memo and his conversation with the president could be subject of the independent investigation that he had just authorized under the jurisdiction of Robert Mueller. And that was shocking to a lot of us in the the room, the idea that the way in which his memo was written could be subject to an obstruction of justice case against individuals that were part of that decision-making process. So it was a very sobering briefing. Not a lot of information other than that disclosure that he had written the memo only after finding out that the decision to fire Comey was made. The rest of it was limited in information, but those limits suggested a very broad scope of this investigation.
Yeah, so you couldn't find out why he wrote the memo or if he thought he was being used by Trump.
No. I mean, he really shut down any questions around the composition of that memo, and he was clear as to why that was. He would not answer those questions because it was potentially subject to a obstruction of justice case that Bob Mueller may be investigating. Of course, he was careful to say that just because I'm not telling you doesn't mean that, you know, there is a criminal case there, but because it may be part of the investigation, I can't answer those questions. And, you know, that was shocking to many of us.
Peter in Norwalk, you're on WNYC with Senator Chris Murphy. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Senator. Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. Two questions. First one has to do with impeachment. And obviously, I don't care for Trump and would like to see him gone. But he was duly elected by the people of the United States. So what would it take for you to consider voting for a conviction in case there was an impeachment trial? And my second question, Senator, is would you consider running for national office for president yourself? Thank you.
On the first one, I just don't think it's responsible for a member of the Senate to engage in hypotheticals about impeachment. My focus is on getting to the facts, trying to force a process by which we can all understand what happened between the Trump campaign and the Russian government, what may have happened afterwards to cover up that relationship, and whether that was connected to the decision to fire Jim Comey. Once we have those facts that hopefully Bob Mueller and the congressional committees will glean, then we may or may not have a conversation about consequences after that. Peter, thanks for the question about my future. My future is simple. I am running for re-election to the United States Senate in 2018, and I'm hopeful that the people in Connecticut will give me the chance to do this job for another 6 years.
Yasue in Needham, Massachusetts, who on WNYC with Senator Murphy. Hi, Yasue.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a little concerned because I feel like the fact that the assistant attorney general appointing the special prosecutor, who I think is really well qualified, but I'm just concerned that they're just trying to slow down the process and they're trying to sort of take this whole process and make it more secretive. And that's my biggest concern. I felt like the investigation was going well, mostly by the press. And I'm concerned that we as the public will not be informed as to what's going on.
Thank you. There does seem to be the effect, Senator, that all these congressional hearings that were going to bring in Comey and he was going to say what was in the memos that he wrote about his contacts with Trump and all these other things, that now gets put on ice because of this investigation?
Well, I don't actually think anything changes with respect to the potential conflict between the congressional committees and the outside investigation. Remember, there is a pending investigation at the FBI right now as to the connection between Trump and the Russians, and there are reports that there are grand juries that are open in the Eastern District of Virginia that are right now bringing in evidence. All that happened here was that Bob Mueller got put in charge of that existing investigation because there were concerns that Rosenstein, because he works ultimately for Sessions and was appointed by the president, was compromised. So nothing actually changes in that there was an investigation happening. There will continue to be an investigation. I think we now all just have, you know, more faith that Bob Mueller will get to get to the truth than others. So you know, and that was always going to happen behind closed doors.
Do you think that Comey, though, who is going to testify? I think it was considered likely that he would testify in open session next week before one committee or another, now won't do so?
Well, there's no practical reason why Comey's decision to testify or not should have changed. I mean, just because Bob Mueller is in charge of the investigation shouldn't change the disposition of Comey as to whether he testifies. There was going to be an obstruction of justice case beforehand, and there may be afterwards if he was asked to resign because he was investigating the connection between the Trump campaign and Russia. Now, maybe he uses that as an excuse, but there's no practical reason why he shouldn't be able to come to Congress and talk to us about those conversations between him and the president.
I want to make sure to get this in. You said in another interview this week that it's important not to get so into the investigation that the Democrats and the news media lose sight of the fact that Trump and the Republican Congress are chugging along in the background, transforming the country on a policy level, obviously for the worse, in your opinion. Are there some policy areas that you have in mind, for the most part, that you don't want to get lost right now?
Well, I mean, there's one that I care most about, which is the effort to repeal the Affordable Health Care Act. I mean, listen, there's no way to argue that all of this news about Trump's connection to Russia and the independent investigation is helpful to the Republicans, except that it provides cloud cover so that they can reorder big sections of the American economy without anybody noticing. Remember, there are 13 Republican senators that are meeting behind closed doors. The end result of their process may be that millions and millions of Americans lose access to health care. Everybody with a pre-existing condition pays more. Medicaid is changed from an entitlement program to a block grant. And, you know, it's not outside of the realm of possibility that a week and a half from now, after we've just spent that 10 days talking about Russia and nothing else, Mitch McConnell announces that they are starting a 20-hour debate on a health care reform bill on the floor of the Senate, and that gets moved expeditiously to the House of Representatives. So, you know, my constituents in Connecticut, they want me to focus on Russia, but I also have 200,000 people that rely on the Affordable Health Care Act for insurance and millions more who are protected from insurance company abuses because of that law. So I've given two speeches on the Senate floor in the last week on health care because I want to push people to remember that Republicans actually are trying to use all the focus on the Russia investigation to jam through a health care bill that would be devastating.
Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat from Connecticut, let's keep talking, okay? Maybe next time you'll come back and we'll do a policy-only session.
I'm ready for it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.